Shalom, Rabbi Galperi.
How are you, Ilan?
I'm fine, how are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. All is good.
So the people of Israel are building a house for God. Parashat Truma.
That's right, that's right. And in that house of God came a lot of, you know, they had to get a lot of money and a lot of things to be able to build and to be able to, people had to contribute gold and silver and copper and blue and purple.
They had to do fundraisers.
Oh yeah, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about. And God says to Moses, they shall make for me a sanctuary and I shall dwell amidst them. Correct. And God tells them, you know, that I'm sorry, and Moses goes and tells the Jews, you know, we need all these materials and animal skins and wood and olives and spices and jams and who knows what. And they all go and they get it. And they bring in, they're able now to be able to put together the Mishkan, everything, the sanctuary, everything like that they needed for God to be able to build the place where God is going to be able to rest and dwell. And if you look in this week's Torah portion, we see that really the first way that Moses is telling us how we're supposed to fundraise. The first fundraising session started. And that's, if you think about it, that's really the first fundraising ever in the history.
Yeah.
And Moshe initiated it in order to build a sanctuary in the wilderness or down in the desert, as well as to acquire all the materials needed for the special utensils that are required for the sacred service. You know, for example, if there's the sacrifices, what they use, and the knives, and the fork, all the equipment. It wasn't only necessarily to build a structure, but with everything that has to be done inside.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when you have sometimes something like this in the Torah, it brings out a very, very important, valid point, and something I think is very important to discuss, and is the art of giving. You know, people think that if I give, I need to always have a return. People always have to be nice to me. People always have to give me back. And let's look at, try and figure out is how that process works based on what we see in the Torah. And, you know, there was a very, very holy, there was a big rabbi once in Israel who said that while some people claim that if you give, you are a fool. And if you take, you're very clever. And Jewish tradition teaches us that those who give and think they are only giving are in fact the fools. Because those who give and understand that they are also receiving at the same time, they are truly wise.
Yeah.
And we'll discuss what that means. Because the truth is that in giving, we actually receive more than we give. And not only are we talking about here a slice of heaven in a faraway paradise, but even in our lifetime now. Because certainly, in our relationships, regardless of what it may be, whether it be a family, business, social, our generosity, our giving is often, and even more than often, reciprocated, and we find the other party, the other person that was on the receiving end, is responding it in, you know, in the same way. But it goes, you gotta think about it, it goes beyond giving in order to get back. The very fact, if you think about it, that we have done good, that which is right, gives us a sense of satisfaction. The takers of the world may eat better, but the givers of the world sleep better.
Yeah.
That's a very, very famous expression.
Yeah.
Why? Because the fact of the satisfaction that I'm giving to someone, or I'm making a difference in someone's life, that satisfaction should be sufficient. That satisfaction should be enough. Not that I'm waiting for the other person to reciprocate. And this explains the unusual expression in our Torah that God tells Moses, and he says, "V'yikhu li truma."
Yeah. Let them take for me an offering, right?
Right. And they shall take for me an offering, a contribution. And the question is asked, why is the word, why take? Surely give would be the more correct term, that they should give for me, or to me, an offering, a contribution. Why is it that it says, and they shall take for me? Because in giving is brought down, and he answers this in the Mefarshim, in the explanations of the Torah, that we're also receiving.
Yeah.
The word take is appropriate. For the same reason we find that the Hebrew word, for example, the expression for acts of loving kindness is gemilut chasadim,
yeah,
is always in the plural form. Why? Because every time someone performs a single act of kindness, at least two people are benefiting from it. The receiver and the giver.
Yeah. I didn't think about that. That's interesting.
No, for sure. You know, you have me giving, the other person benefiting from it, the fact that he's able to receive something, he's able to go buy food, he's able to pay his rent, whatever it may be, and I'm getting that satisfaction of, look, that person has now had a couple of days of that he can be, he's breathe a little bit, take care of his family, and give something to his kids. And, you know, I've seen people over the years that have been very good people,
yeah,
giving people, and always shared and cared about other people. And then, after years of being givers, they stop. And you think about it, why? Why do they stop? They've been doing it for so many years. Why, what all of a sudden got them that they have to stop? Because they became frustrated at the lack of appreciation for all their hard work. Because after all they had done for others, they never even got a simple thank you. So they were disappointed, and even in a further instance, they're even bitter. So they resigned from the public life, and from whatever community service that they can give, they stop giving. But the thing is what people don't realize is how sad is it that they didn't realize that even if the human beings, who we are sometimes, are unappreciative, God always takes note of every act of kindness that we perform. And he responds with infinite blessings in his own way. You know, our sages teach us that if we express regret over the good that we have done, we might as well forfeit all the merits we would have had that we would have deserved from God. Because it's not, yes, it's nice for us to hear from people, thank you so much, I appreciate it, but not everyone comes over in that way, says, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
But God takes note of every single thing you do. And sometimes the greatest thing that a person can do is how you see the just the satisfaction itself of you helping someone. That's the biggest thing. You know, being a rabbi, you always, you know, you're sort of in the helping profession because you're always there involved in issues in your congregation. You know, you don't only give speeches and teach the Torah. You know, you're always, sometimes I have to go, which I've been doing lately, unfortunately, too many times, so I have to go do pastoral care in the hospital, visiting, yeah, helping, comforting someone when there's a loss. So it's without a doubt that when we're doing these things, that a source of deep satisfaction is when we can really make a difference in a person's life. And there are obviously many people that have the privilege to help one person in one way or the other. And one feels very, you know, profound sense of purpose, knowing that we were able to help someone through, whether it be a crisis, or if their spirits are crushed in a hospital, or even if someone, you know, passes away, and we're there to be able to just to support and help. So, sure, I was the giver, But I received, we all received so much back in return. Our lives have so much more meaning now. We're more worthy because we helped the person in need. We helped someone, even though we might have not seen the thank you. The person might have not realized that we might have been the person helping him. He wasn't in a state to understand this.
And there is always matan baseter, that the one that you give doesn't know who gave.
Correct. That's the highest form of charity,
yeah,
where the person doesn't even know that you're giving, and you don't even know the person that's received it.
Exactly.
So whenever we think that we're a big deal because we did something for a good cause, we always have to remember that we are receiving much more than we are giving. So we have to remember, let us all be givers, whether it be financially, whether it be emotionally, whether it be being there for someone, helping someone in need, whatever it may be. And if we're all in that mindset of that we're givers, then we'll all be blessed for it. And this is what God was saying. God was saying, "V'yikhu li truma," that they shall take from me.
Yeah.
Taking from me is that we're also taking from it. We're gaining from it. And that one is a thing that I think we should constantly think about, that when we're giving, not that I'm giving and I didn't get the appreciation. Yes, we're human beings. We want to get appreciated. We want to get, thank you that we did something. But that should not be our reason why we're giving, or that should not be our reason why we shouldn't give anymore because he didn't tell me thank you.
Yeah.
And that's where I think is something very important that we can learn from this week's Torah portion.
Yeah, it's a very nice one. And besides that, they talk about Aron HaBrit and how to build the Mishkan.
Correct. And everything that we did in building of the Mishkan, the sanctuary for God, everything was directed. We had the blueprints. We had everything. So everything that we did was by the word of God, was blurred in the mouth, and exists for eternity, forever.
Yeah.
Very important to remember that.
So, Rabbi, Purim is getting closer and closer.
Yeah, Purim's around the corner. 2 weeks, we're going to be having our beautiful annual Purim event, which is going to be in the JCC, in the gym. It's open to the entire community. It's a time that the whole community comes together and celebrates the festivities of Purim. And this year's theme that we're doing, every year we try and do a different theme, and this year we're doing Purim in the Wild West. So I hope everyone still has some cowboy boots or cowboy hats, or you're going to get a couple, whatever it may be. And if you don't have it, you come dressed up however you wish to dress up for Purim. You know, even if it's something that you rarely wanted but you're embarrassed to dress up like that, Purim is a good time to bring out your true fantasies and dress up however you wish. And we're going to have there's going to be a lot of food, wild western style food, and there's going to be prizes for all the kids that are dressed up. We're going to have music. It's going to arts and crafts for the kids. It's going to be a beautiful event. And it's going to be March 8th at the Jewish Community Center in the gym. And we're going to have a Megillah reading with a slideshow for the kids, an interactive slideshow with the kids of the story of Purim.
Yeah, and that's starting at 5 o'clock p.m.
That's at 5 o'clock. And the party will be starting at 5:30. And everyone is invited. I do ask that we please RSVP so we have numbers, so we know how much to tell our beloved caterer who's going to be catering all the food. You could either email myself, which is windsorrabbi@gmail.com, or you can call 519-256-2572, and hoping that we'll see everyone.
That's great. So, Rabbi, I wanted to thank you.
Thank you.
And for sure, we will mention the Purim party next week again on the show.
For sure.
Because we want a lot of people to come.
That is definitely true.
Yeah. And thank you.
Thank you, and have a great week. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.